In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. This is Richard Schmidt. It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you once again. And we're working on a series called Christian Essentials. Last time we met, we were talking about the absolute necessity of knowing doctrine. We brought up the fact that, unfortunately, some of the major denominations, even those that embrace salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, are starting to, if you will, get a little bit lazy when it comes to standing firm on the 12 major doctrines of Scripture. And we went through those last broadcasts, which you can see on the Word for Life website. Well, this morning we're going to turn away from just the specific concept of doctrine, and we're going to add a second tier to this. What happens, Christian, when all of a sudden doctrine becomes an issue between you and another Christian? That is becoming a huge issue across the country. Now, we know that as Christians, we stand on a few of the essentials that we can all agree on. And one of those major essentials, of course, is the gospel. The gospel defines who Christians are, so we know specifically when we get into doctrinal discussions with a Christian whether they're on the same page or not. Well, unfortunately, what we've seen is things that are creeping into the theology of many of our good Christian churches. What do you do when that happens? In other words, if you go to the phone book, well, I guess that's an old, outdated statement. If you go to the internet now and you look up all the many churches that exist within a community, and you'll find, and we're not going to list them, but you come up with a whole variety of different types of churches and different denominations. So I'm going to separate those into two major categories. First, if they're places of worship or religious institutions that are not quote-unquote Christian, I'm not going to address those this morning. But under those that are under the label of Christian, in other words, those churches, those places of worship where they believe in salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ, there is a massive, and I mean a massive variety of different churches. The bigger the city, the bigger the list becomes, the larger the group of denominations and so forth. So it becomes confusing. I know among our listeners this morning, there's going to be a massive number of different churches that people belong to. So here's the problem that we're running into, and a problem that I'm not sure I have the answer to this morning. I believe God has given us an answer. I don't know what's one that we're going to embrace yet as a Christian community, but here's the issue. My Christian brother, again, or sister, who absolutely positively believes in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. So that makes us brothers and sisters in the Lord. But now we start discussing how to interpret the Scriptures. We talk about, as we did a little bit ago on our first broadcast, future things, end times, the 500 prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And we look at those of us, as myself, who interpret the Bible literally. In other words, these 500 prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, but will be fulfilled exactly as stated. If I go to one of my other potential brothers or sisters in Christ, and they will look at me and say, what do you mean they're going to be interpreted literally? In other words, when the Bible talks about a 1,000-year millennial kingdom where Jesus Christ will be on this earth to live and reign in his theocratic kingdom for 1,000 years, there's some individuals that are good Christians that will say, no, Jesus will never rule and reign on this earth. Well, I would take them to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, and would point out to them that six times in seven verses, God states through the Apostle John that there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Well, again, my friend may say something such as, well, you know, it says 1,000 years, but it doesn't really mean a literal 1,000 years. You know, we're kind of like living in the millennium now. So they allegorize and spiritualize the text instead of taking it literal. So here's what I've heard some others say. You know, Brother Rich, we, quite frankly, this literal thing of interpreting scripture, I'm not so sure that's a good idea because it's causing divisions among God's people. So I would agree with them that that's not a good thing. In fact, here's the issue I want to address this morning. So we look at the two major theological groups that exist within Christendom today, true Bible-believing Christians that love the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by grace. And God instructs us one other thing. Not only should we be following sound doctrine, but he admonishes us to be unified with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of there. Verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, here's the punchline, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, God wants us to be unified. We shouldn't be fighting. There shouldn't be factions. But unfortunately, there are so many different varieties among Christians when it comes to doctrine that it tends to lead to divisions in different churches, different denominations, different systems of theology, and so forth. That is a problem. Maybe you agree. Maybe you don't. But according to the Lord, if we're to have sound doctrine and also be unified as Christians, how do we accomplish that? Well, there's a few things that I'd like to throw out there this morning as you ponder these things. It's kind of a deep question. If you have a brother or sister in Christ who attends a different church and you know you're not on the same page doctrinally, how can we attempt to fix this in the future? Is it fixable? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Again, I want to draw your attention to one of the most important verses in the Bible when it comes to this issue, which is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul makes a very strong statement, not just for pastors, not just for evangelists, not just for those in full-time ministry. This is to all Christians. 2 Timothy 2:15. The King James Version states, study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The New King James Version, similar thought, says, be diligent, same concept as study, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let's break that apart a little bit. First of all, he said you've got to study. You've got to be diligent. In other words, it takes time. The word of God, yes, some things are so simple, such as the gospel message, but other things take a little bit of work, and God recognizes that. So he makes it very clear that you need to study the word of God. That's why we have Bible-believing churches. That's why we encourage people to go to Sunday school. If your church has morning services, many churches, good, solid Bible-believing churches, have evening services like Brookside Baptist Church. And God says, be diligent to study, get involved with Bible study, to present yourself approved to God. Wow, that is a very important statement. If you want to be approved of God, what does he say? You've got to study the Bible. Then he says, a worker. Now, does God expect us to be involved in the ministry, to do things in the ministry? Absolutely. He said, I want you to be workers in the ministry that don't need to be ashamed. In other words, that you're not ashamed of your Bible knowledge, that you know how to answer biblical questions, that if someone came up to you and said, oh my goodness, I'm not sure if I died, I go to heaven. Do you have help for me? Can you answer the question? Can you show them from the Bible how to get to heaven? Maybe they have a question about marriage. Maybe they have a question about morality or ethics or something that's a huge question on their mind. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a teenager in your home. Maybe it's a mom or a dad. Maybe it's a person who has authority in different places, and people come and they say they have questions. Can you answer their biblical questions? So God says you need to study the Bible, so you're a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed. Can you actually do what God's asked us to do and help people with their spiritual problems? Then the end of the verse is very important as well. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, folks, this comes down to one of the key issues we discussed in our first broadcast, which, again, you can find on our Word for Life website. Rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, there's 66 books of the Bible. You have 39 Old Testament books, 27 New. Do you understand the difference between the Old and the New Testament? Other different divisions that exist in Scripture. Most of the Old Testament and a great percentage of the New Testament deals with Israel. There's also a large section in the New Testament that deals mainly with the church. In other words, Christians. That's another division. Are we rightly dividing the word of truth? Are we finding out who God is speaking to and what the specific application of that truth is? So these are things that can help us to make sure that we are not only Christian friends on the surface, but when we understand doctrine and study and work through these issues, we can also be unified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, to the Lord Jesus. Here's a major part of that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see, Christian, this is not for salvation. What we're reading here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is there's going to be a time after what's called the rapture of the church, when God takes us home and gives us our glorified bodies, when every single Christian will sit or stand, if you will, before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is a good thing. The judgment seat of Christ is not determining who's going to heaven and hell, but it is going to determine what awards, rewards are given to God's people. Let me expand on that. The other major key passage on this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Let me just read a couple of verses from that. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Here's the start. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. What's God saying? Again, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 17. What he's specifically stating is, while we're on this earth, Christian, I'm speaking to those who've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, all of the things we've done on this earth will be judged. The good things, they'll survive and will be rewarded. The bad things, the wood, hay, stubble, will be burned up. Let me ask you the question. Have you been studying the Word of God? Have you been seeking to be unified with your fellow Christians? Friends, that's a great, great question, which I trust you'll ponder this week. God bless you. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.